Father, we just pray that tonight you'd speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to live in all that you've called us to. Lord, to be who we're supposed to be in this world, salt and light. And Lord, I just pray that the word of the Lord, as we hear it, Lord, that truth be imparted to set captives free. Lord, that we might walk in freedom and walk in all you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, just to give you a quote from Phil Robertson, he said, "I have a God-given right to pursue happiness, and happiness to me is killing things, skinning them, plucking them, and then having a good meal. What makes me happy is going out and blowing a duck's head off." I got some laughs. I figured I'd get some amens out of that. Some of you hunters, you know. But it's a little different here in the big city. Y'all didn't know this was big city, did you? Well, yeah. When I pastored in Medill, Oklahoma, we could just about close the doors on the weekend that deer season started. I mean, even the teenage girls went and shot a deer. Everybody had to go shoot a deer. But anyway, it's not quite like that, is it, here? But are you happy? You know, our Constitution tells us we're entitled to the pursuit of happiness, but there's a flaw in that. When you chase after happiness, it just kind of eludes you. It's like chasing after the wind. You never catch it that way. Now, there are some places that you can go where you can almost certainly find a breeze. Do you know that's true? There are some places that just, you know, especially some higher spots, I mean, you can just count on there being a breeze. And I'm telling you that in life, it's that way too when it comes to being happy. You can't chase happiness and catch it. But there are certain things that you can do to put yourself in a position where happiness will just happen in your life. I mean, it'll just come on you. And I want to encourage you tonight from the word of the Lord that you are supposed to be happy. Now, the Bible doesn't promise you a continual state of bliss. There's always going to be changes in our situation and our circumstance, and you might not be happy with your circumstance right now, but I want you to understand that there are principles from the Scripture that can help you be happy no matter what's going on in your world. God wants you to be happy. I believe that. He wants us to have joy, but he also wants us to be happy. Now, I know some of you real spiritual people, you're thinking, well, we got joy all the time, but I don't know about this happy thing. Listen, I've seen a lot of believers who claim to have the joy of the Lord. I got the joy of the Lord. But they were always grumpy. I don't want none of that kind of joy. And I'm just telling you, that if you got the joy of the Lord, it's going to be showing up sometimes on the outside. It's an inward joy. It comes from deep down within. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But I'm just saying, it's going to show up on the outside. Happy. See, don't make that joy so spiritual that it no longer is real joy. Because, listen, joy will make you happy. I mean, it'll give you something on the inside to be happy about. Now, you don't have control over all your circumstances, but we need to know there are certain circumstances according to the Word of God that you can put yourself in that will make you happy. Say this another way. Joy that never comes out on your face isn't worth a whole lot. Especially when you're telling other people about the Lord. If you're determined to be unhappy, it's one of those goals in life that you can probably accomplish. And I've known some people that just seem to be that way. I mean, it didn't matter what happened. They just never were happy. They could have won the lottery and not been happy about it. Well, now everybody's going to be after my money. I mean, there's always a way to be unhappy. So I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to choose to be happy. Now, if you're a happy person, then you just take this as encouragement to build you up that you're supposed to be that way. But I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that really struggle in this area. And I just want to see you set free tonight, see you really enjoying the Lord. And I'm getting a little of this tonight. I'm just telling you, you know, most of the time when God gives me a message for you, well, guess who got it first? You know, I live with a happy person. She smiles all the time. She's always pleasant. And I'm not. But I'm working on it. He's working on it. So I feel you. I know where you are. You know, I know that struggle, but I'm just telling you, it's for us that we can be happy. We need to remember that ours is a fixed fight. You might be in a battle right now. It's a fixed fight. You don't need to go around with a long face. You need to go around with a smile like you know something, because you do know something. You know that everything's going to work out for your good. Or did you forget that? Well, no wonder you're getting unhappy. You got to remember these things. But joy should be expressed, be coming out in our lives where people can tell we're happy. I heard a story about an alien that went to see a church, and he peeks inside, and then he asked his earthly guide, "What are those people doing?" People were sitting in there singing a song, just kind of going through the motions. And the guide said, "Well, they're worshiping God because he saved them and he's going to take them to heaven where they'll be with him forever in paradise." And the alien said, "Do they know that?" And you know what? Sometimes, church, I kind of get that feel. Like, hey, y'all remember what we got? Oh, church, we need to be excited. And by the way, when we're singing praise and worship, that is our opportunity to let God know how happy we are with the job he's doing. Well, if you're happy, tell your neighbor, "I'm happy." Now tell your face. Yeah, it goes like this. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. Y'all never heard that one, huh? All right. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Now, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. That means the look on your face. Now, I know it's not just about the face. I get that. It's not just about pasting a smile on your face and pretending to be happy. That's not what we're going for tonight. You need to understand that the heart has a whole lot to do with this. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So how do you get a merry heart? Listen, a lot of it depends on what you put down in your heart. And if you're struggling to be happy, you need to consider changing your thinking. The things that you dwell on, the things that you meditate on. Remember, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're not too happy, guess what? There's probably some things you're thinking in your heart that need to go. You just need to quit thinking that way. Now, that's real good. I'm just telling you, every psychologist in the country ought to write that down. If you're struggling to be happy, there's probably some things that you're thinking and dwelling on in your thought life that you just don't need to go there anymore. You need to get that stuff out of your thought life. You need to make up your mind. You're not going to think that way anymore, because a cheerful heart makes a cheerful countenance. Amen. So you got to change your heart. And the way you do that is by what you put down in your heart. Jesus said that out of the good things that a man stores in his heart, he brings forth good. And I'm telling you, if you're allowing your thought life to always be negative, then you're going to end up with a sorrowful spirit. struggling a lot to be happy? You need to check your attitude. Listen, most of the time, happiness is determined more by our attitude than it is our situation or circumstance. I've heard it said, in fact, I think I've even said it before, that happiness depends on happenstance. But really, it's more than that. In fact, probably 90% of being happy is your attitude. It's not that everything's perfect in your life, but it's just the attitude that you have. And I'm telling you again, that attitude goes back to your thought life, because your attitudes are created and formed by the way that you think. When you think a certain way over and over, see, you start thinking about how you've been wronged and how you've been hurt, and you think about that over and over and over. Before long, you begin to, those bitter thoughts give you an attitude of bitterness. And I'm telling you that if you're struggling to be happy, you need an attitude adjustment. To be happy, you got to have your focus on the positives. I'm not belittling anybody's problems. I'm not saying that your struggles are not real. But what I'm saying is that we all have problems. And it really comes down to this, is that it's attitude whether or not you're going to be happy. I'm convinced there's a whole lot of people that are happy and they just don't know it. I'm serious. There's a whole lot of people, they're happy, and they just don't know it. Some of you, you're saying, I'm not happy. You just don't know it. You don't realize your situation and your circumstance, because you've got a whole lot to be happy about, but it's just in your thought life and your attitude that you is causing you to be unhappy. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Problem is that a lot of the time, we don't really think much different than unbelievers. We need to renew our minds with the Word of God. We worry. We look on the dark side. I mean, why look on the bright side when you can look on the dark side, right? How strange. Why would you want to do that? We find something wrong and we focus on that. Now, that is human nature. But let me clarify that. That's the old, sinful human nature, to always find the one thing that's wrong. And I'm telling you, there's so much right and so much good in our lives. We just need to, here it is. We need to be thankful. If we're just thankful people, I'm telling you, you're happy people. Unthankful. If you find yourselves griping and complaining all the time, I know you're unhappy. No, you got to change your attitude. Now, listen to this, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, things are noble, things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Now, he gives us a list here of things that we ought to think about, that this is what we ought to set our mind on. But if you listen to the conversations of most people, they're not talking about the things that are true. They're not talking about the things that are noble, the things that are pure. They're not talking about the things that are lovely. No, a lot of the time, people are constantly talking about all of the problems in our world and all of the things that are wrong and all of the injustices. In fact, let me just take that a step further. I don't know about you, but whenever I watch the news, I get very little of that. Now, here's why this is important. Because what you put in your heart, you see, the input that you get has an effect on your thinking and your attitudes. You can't think on all of the negatives and all the bad stuff in our world all the time and be happy. No, you got to get your mind on the good things. I know some of you think that I'm weird, and well, that's okay, but I can't hardly watch the evening news. I can watch a little bit of it, a little while, some of the time. But after a few minutes, I get depressed. I got to turn that thing off. I mean, I'd rather watch cartoons. I'm just saying, I just can't take it. It is so depressing. Let me show you every bad thing that's happening somewhere in the world. And by the time you get through 30 minutes of that, and some of you do it 3 or 4 times a day, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get up and go to church. I'd be so depressed, I couldn't get out of the house. But here's my point. It is important what you put in, what you listen to. Now, you can't get rid of every negative input in your life. I realize that. I mean, I read in the Bible where, you know, Solomon talks about if you got a contentious woman, you go up and stay in the corner of the attic or something, you know. And I know that, ladies, don't get mad now. Listen, it might be a grumpy husband. I'm just saying, or your coworkers. You can't always get away from every bit of negative input. But if you want to be happy, as much as is up to you and your choice, you decide to be around people that are uplifting and positive. And, you know, when you're around those negative people, you be the influencer. You know what I'm saying? But you need to realize that negative input has an effect on your heart. And so if you're going to be happy, you got to get control of your thought life, and you got to make up your mind you're going to have positive input. I'm telling you, it makes a big difference. No matter what's happened, no matter what's going on, you got something to be happy about. Even when life's at its very worst, you know this isn't all there is. And see, that's what the world says. Well, this is all there is. Well, we know it's not. No matter what the situation, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what the news says, no matter what, listen, we know it's not the end of the story. Let me read this from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And church, we need to keep our eyes on the big picture. We need to keep our eyes on eternity, that God has great things planned for us. And even if we're going through some affliction in this life, He's going to deliver us out of it all. He's got better things ahead for us. What problems and difficulties you face, it's temporary. You're going to get through this. You know, sometimes when a teenager has their first puppy love, we tell them, you're going to live. You're going to get through this. Now, see, when you're a teenager and you got a real bad case of puppy love, it's tough. People act like, you know, it's no big deal. And it is a big deal, though. When you're a teenager, puppy love can kill you. I know I had a real bad case of it when I was a teenager. But we tell them, you're going to live. You're going to get through this. Because we've seen it, right? And I'm telling you, if we could just see things from God's perspective, the things that you're going through, you're going to live. You're going to get through this. You're going to make it. Focus on the things that are good. And get that down in your heart. Because Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Let me tell you, if you are not happy, you need to get happy. You need to decide you're not going to live unhappy. You're going to get happy. Now, being unhappy can actually make you sick. Just bring all kinds of health issues in your life. In fact, the opposite, if you're happy and you laugh, when you laugh, it releases endorphins in your body that helps your body heal, helps your body get well. And I'm telling you, this may not sound like the most spiritual message you ever heard, But it's a message we need, church, that I think could really help people in their life. And not only that, it'll make you a better witness. But are we really supposed to be happy, preacher? Well, the Bible says in Psalms 144, 15, happy are the people who are in such a state. Texas. No, it doesn't say that. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Is He your Lord? Listen, if He's your Lord, then you got something to be happy about. Because when you say Lord, that word there's actually Yahweh. You need to realize there's not anything that He can't do. You need to make it personal. There's not anything you can't do, and you love me. That'll make you happy. Now, I realize that if you've got a big situation you're dealing with right now, or just lots of little stuff, maybe that's hard to turn that boat around if you're unhappy and get happy in one night. But I'm just telling you, you see, it needs to become lifestyle that instead of thinking about your situation, see, this is my state. No, you need to remember this is your state. Your God is the Lord. You know you can count on Him. There's not anything that He can't do. You know, when the Apostle Paul was going through things down here, what we would consider to be terrible things, he says, our light affliction, which is just for a moment. Why? Because he has his eyes on eternity. We need that kind of faith to see things as they really are, not just what we see with a natural eye, but the way things really are. That's not denying reality. No, we acknowledge reality of what we can see, but we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen? We got to keep our eyes on the Lord and on His Word. So, smile. Listen, if you smile at people, they at least wonder what you're up to, right? I mean, but most people, do you know it's contagious? I've told y'all this before, but it's just strange to me. You know, we go on vacation one time, and I'm riding the escalator down, and I'm right behind Carmen, and people are coming up the escalator, and they all look grumpy, you know, kind of like I did. But when they get to where we are, they all smile real big. And I finally realize it's because Carmen's smiling at all of them as she's going down the escalator. Everybody that comes up the escalator, all of a sudden, they'd smile. Why? Because she's smiling. I'm just telling you, we need some Christians that smile more. Especially those who tell people you're going to Grace Church. So, I want to encourage you tonight, be happy. Oh, if it was just that easy. Well, I know you got to start from where you are, but listen, you need to decide that you're going to be happy. Don't expect somebody else to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. See, some people waiting for their ship to come in, and they're finally going to be happy. Some people waiting for this certain guy or certain girl, they're finally going to be happy. Some people are waiting for a certain stage of life. When they get to that one, then it's another one. Some are waiting till they reach some certain goal, maybe a financial goal, or they make a certain amount, or they achieve a certain thing, and then they're going to finally be happy. But you know, the saddest thing is the most of the time when they get to that place, they don't stay happy very long. Funny how in our culture right now, most people think that, and I've talked about this just a couple of Sundays ago, but people think that money has so much to do with their happiness and things. And, you know, a wise man, being my father, said to me one day that money won't make you happy, but it's hard to be happy without it. Well, I understand that we got to have our needs met, and the Lord is our provider. And He meets our needs and then some. Amen. I believe in abundant supply. But I also think that in America today, this discontentment, You know, it's godliness with contentment is great gain. This discontentment that we're never satisfied, we always got to have a little more, it leaves people so unhappy. I don't know how we managed to be happy when I was a kid. You know, we didn't have paintball guns and laser guns. Sometimes we had a stick and we made noises and said, I got you first, you're dead, you know. But we had a good time. We didn't know any better. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you think it's about stuff, you need to watch a three-year-old at Christmas when they put aside that $300 toy and play with the box. It's not about stuff. You see, some of you need to get back in that mindset of a three-year-old a little bit where you can enjoy the simple things of life. You don't have to have all that stuff. You think that's what's going to make you happy. You're so wrong. See, you think you'd be happy when you get the stuff. You know, you're worried about not having enough stuff. And then when you get the stuff, then you worry about the stuff. Young man gets his little John boat, pushes it out in the water on a little pond. He's catching him a few black bass. Doesn't have a motor on it or nothing. Just kind of paddles around a little bit. He's enjoying life. Rich guy, he gets him a 50-foot yacht. Takes it out on the lake. But he's got so much invested in that thing and so much to worry about and take care of and maintain, he can't even enjoy the stupid thing. I'm just saying, sometimes we get to the place where we think a little more is going to make us happy, and it's not. No, if you can't be happy where you are, listen, if you can't learn to be happy where you are in life, you're probably not going to be happy. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying to accept things as they are. I'm not saying to just, you know, say, okay, well, this is my life. This is my lot in life, the way it's always going to be. No, I believe in faith and using your faith to see it change. But you need to realize that your ship is not always somewhere out there in the future going to come in. No, you need to enjoy life right now. You need to figure out, how can I be happy right now? Start with this. Your God is the Lord. Now, I think worry is one of the things that steals a lot of people's happiness. So let me just share a few quotes with you. Somebody said this: the ignorant worry because they don't know enough. The knowledgeable worry because they know too much. The rich worry because they're afraid of losing what they have. And the poor worry because they don't have enough. The old worry because they're facing death. And the young worry because they're facing life. A few more quotes about worry. Blessed is the man who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. I actually like that one. A problem not worth praying about is not worth worrying about. That's a good one too. Now here's a sarcastic one. Why pray when you can worry? Why do we do that? The Bible tells us so plainly, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Jesus says it three times. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Why do we worry when we can pray and have peace? Keeps a lot of people from being happy. And this one's been said a lot of times, but it's worth repeating. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. That's right. And you know what I found so often? That when I was unhappy because of fears and doubts, worry about the morrows, that when I got there, it wasn't all that bad. I'm just telling you how much joy, happiness we lose over worry, negative thinking, negative thoughts, doubts and unbelief. I tell you, we got to find our happiness in the Lord. Listen to this from Psalms 37 and 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make up your mind that He's your delight, that you're going to be happy in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You see, we focus on things and this relationship or this situation, if we just focus on the Lord and delight ourselves in Him, He can give us the desires of our heart. That's no problem for God. He's waiting for you to get happy in Him. Now, I told you earlier, there's things that you can do to put yourself in position to be happy, and I hope you've learned a little bit already, but I'm just going to real quickly give you 8 things straight from the Scripture that the Bible says these people are happy, so we're gonna copy these people, right? I mean, if somebody else is happy and you want to be happy, we'll do what they're doing, right? So this is what the Word tells us how to be happy. Realize who your God is. And no matter what the circumstances, no matter how it looks, remember your Lord, He is God. We read it already, Psalms 144:15. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You got to remind yourself, my God can do anything. All things are possible with God. So why should I not be happy? Number 2, fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Now, I know some of these you're going to think, why? How does that make you happy? Listen, sometimes you just need to take God at His word. You don't have to understand it all and figure it all out. But here is it, Psalms 128:1-2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. See, when you fear the Lord and you walk in His ways, He causes things to turn out right in our life. When we fear the Lord, we walk in His ways, He takes care of us. Now, the fear of the Lord, that is that constant awareness and awe of Him. It's not being afraid of God, but it is that constant reverence and awe of Him in your life, that you know that His ever watchful eye is on your every move, and you live your life to please Him. That's the fear of the Lord. And see, when we live our lives to please Him, that's when we find the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment in life, because that's what we were created to do, is to bring pleasure to Him. So fear the Lord. It'll make you happy. Number 3 is obey the Word of God. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. That's right. When you obey God, it makes you feel good. And when you disobey God, you don't feel so good. I'm just telling you, when you obey God, now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, we're going to pray for the rest of you. I'm just saying, because you need to know, you know, when you obey God, there's a good feeling. It makes you happy that you know that you obeyed God. You did what you're supposed to. But Christian people that don't really sell out and totally live for God are usually the most miserable people. Lukewarm Christians. Listen, they can't enjoy the Lord. And they can't enjoy the world either. Miserable. But when we live according to God's word, we're happy. Number 4, listen to your conscience. Romans 14:22. Now, when I say conscience, I'm talking about spirit inside, all right? I'm not talking about a worldly principle. But listen to the spirit. Listen to this. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. He doesn't condemn himself in what he approves. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about when you know something's wrong and you do it anyway, how that makes you feel. Now, this is similar to obeying the word, but I'm talking about even in the details of life, when you know that you should do something and you don't do it, How you feel terrible. In fact, let me just take this a step further. There is nothing that makes you more miserable than being under a load of guilt. That's miserable. No, happy is when you listen to that still small voice and you obey. You just do what you know is right, no matter what other people say or what the cost might be. You can still be happy because you know you did the right thing. Number 5 is trust the Lord. Now, this is one of my favorites. I think this is a real key to being happy. It's Proverbs 16:20. It says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Now, when we say trust, we're talking about where you turn it over to him kind of trust. We're not talking about lip service trust. We're talking about where you really give it up to God, that you don't carry that burden anymore. You're not, you see, a lot of people, they're not happy because they got a load of care. They're under the responsibilities of life. And now listen, I'm all about being responsible in the sense that you do what you're supposed to do. But as far as carrying the load, this burden, this weight of care, I'm telling you, you need to turn that over to God and trust the Lord with it. When you do, it'll lighten your steps. Listen, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Can you say that? See, when we take his yoke and his burden, then that's the way it ought to be. So trust the Lord, really trust him. Sometimes we're unhappy because we put too much trust in other people or other things. I want to tell you, people will fail you. Not because they're bad, because they're human. They'll fail you. And it doesn't matter what government, economy, friends, I'm telling you, they can all fail you, but he never will. So happy are the people that trust the Lord. Number six, realize that with the Lord, you always have hope. Psalms 146:5 says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. See, no matter what's going on as a child of God, you still have hope. Ecclesiastes says, as long as we have breath, we have hope. And we still got breath, right? I'm just telling you, you should never be a time. See, the world, they say, well, this is as good as it gets. This is all there is. But we know better. We know that no matter what's going on, we still have hope. Number seven is being used of God will make you happy. I took this one from the Apostle Paul. He went through a lot of things, yet he was still happy. He tells us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he's writing it from a prison cell. But listen to this from Acts 26:1-2. It says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews. He was happy even though he's in bonds. He's been falsely accused, and here he is. He's supposed to be testifying for on his own behalf. But instead, he just takes it as an opportunity to witness for the Lord. And he's all happy about it. And I'm just telling you, when you're being used of God, it'll make you happy. There's nothing like knowing that God used you to help somebody else. It's an amazing feeling. Number eight, serving will make you happy. You want to be happy? Make yourself a servant. Now, nobody likes to be made to be the servant. I mean, it is hard to get much joy out of your boss coming and telling you, honey, take the trash out. Right? Okay. Nobody likes to be made to serve. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, we choose to serve. Well, I'm copying Jesus on this one, aren't I? It's John 13:14-17. After Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you as an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, another translation says, happy are you if you do them. The word blessed there is translated happy, and in fact, several translations. But if you do them, now, I want you to understand, it's not enough to just know that about being a servant. No, you got to do it. And when you serve others, listen, you'll just find a joy there. So if you've been a little down, just not really on top of things, you know, emotionally, and just let me tell you what you need to do. You need to find a place to serve. You need to look for a way to serve other people. You just need to forget about yourself and start helping somebody else. And before you know it, you'll find yourself smiling. You'll find yourself happy. Happy, happy, happy. Go out of your way to serve somebody. The Lord wants you to be happy. He's made provision for it in the Word. Happy is the man. There's some other places I didn't try to share them all tonight. But you know, Jesus said we're to be happy when we're persecuted for doing right. That's right. We're supposed to be happy. I'm just telling you, in the Scripture, it makes it clear that we ought to be the happiest people in the world. People ought to see our joy, not just because we tell them, oh, I got the joy of the Lord. No, because we're truly happy. It's coming out on the outside. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And you know what? Joy, that fruit, it's not just for you. It's for others. It's to be a blessing to others. Well, stand with me, and I just want to pray over you. And tonight, I know this message tonight might seem like it's not that spiritual, but I'm telling you, some of you need to get a hold of this message. I'm counting myself there with you. I want to learn to be happier. I got so much to be happy about. I tell you what, the Lord has been so good to me. But we need to remember all the good things God has done, all the blessings we have. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this great church, this great gathering of people that you have brought here at Grace. And Lord, I pray that as we love one another and encourage one another, Lord, as we help one another, pray for one another, serve one another, Lord, there'd just be great joy in our midst, that our happiness would just abound. Lord, that we can't help but share it with other people. I pray, Father, as we go out from this place tonight, that truly we'll see ourselves as agents of change in a dark world to bring salt and light, to bring healing and wholeness, to bring joy and victory and happiness wherever we are, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. I want to tell you as you go tonight, if you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. I know there are other prayer partners that will come and pray too. But if you need prayer, you come on up. You're dismissed.